As you've probably heard by now, we've teamed up with BetMGM this season. We'll be using BetMGM lines to make all of our picks, and we'll have special offers for our listeners each week. If you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC, and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager with BetMGM. Here's how it works. Download the BetMGM app and sign up using bonus code THEATHLETIC. Make your first deposit of at least $10, place your first bet on any game, and claim your voucher for a one-year subscription to The Athletic. See BetMGM.com for terms. U.S. promotional offers not available in D.C., Mississippi, New York, Nevada, Ontario, or Puerto Rico. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Available in the U.S. Call 877-8-HOPE-NY or text HOPE-NY-467-369 in New York. Call 1-800-NEXT-STEP in Arizona. 1-800-327-5050 in Massachusetts. 1-800-BETS-OFF in Iowa. 1-800-270-7117 for confidential help in Michigan. 1-800-981-0023 in Puerto Rico. First bet offer for new customers only in partnership with Kansas Crossing Casino and Hotel. Don't forget, if you haven't signed up for BetMGM yet, use bonus code THEATHLETIC and you'll get a one-year subscription to The Athletic, plus up to a $1,500 first bet offer on your first wager.
Everybody, and welcome to the greatest fantasy baseball show you can ever listen to in January. It's Under the Radar. With me as always, my friend and yours, Ian Khan.
Hello, my friends. Happy New Year and happy Season 3.
Your friend and mine, Durga Raba.
Yeah, happy New Year, everybody. Happy to be back.
DVR's got a column up on the site. Go check it out. It's good stuff. That's all
I got.
You
eat.
Yeah, all right. Stockwatch. Risers and Fallers, I think we called it. I don't know. We got to fill in so many titles and places now. Could be Stockwatch, could be Risers and Fallers, depending on what you read. Anyway, we got a good show today. We're going to continue our ADP talk from last show. Breaking news, I started a best ball 10. We're in round 3. And I got to say, I love my team right now.
Who you got?
I got the fourth pick. Took just Mike kidding. Trout.
Okay, with who was four. There? Who was there? How'd it go?
It was Soto, Cole, Turner, DeGrom, Bieber.
Whoa, oh. Whoa, wait. Who went 1, 2, 3 is what I'm asking.
Oh, it was Tatis, Betts, Acuna.
Got it. Soto. And you went Trout over Soto?
Man, Trout. Let me tell you, man. This is a total Ian. I've spent too much time with you. Trout coming back in a pandemic, like 3 days after he had his child. That's a mentality that I want on my best ball team. That dude would play through anything. I thought he was going to take like a month off and be like, all right, you know, I don't want to bring anything into the house. You know, I want to be super careful. Oh my God. Like just, I had a baby. I know what that's like. You just want the baby to sleep on you like every day forever. And you nap with it and then wake up and think you dropped the baby. Like I can't imagine like 2 days later being like, I'll see you later. I got to go play alongside Justin Upton now.
I mean, what a story. Like the choice of Trout and Soto is so gorgeous. It's really great. The top five is so awesome this year.
I think you could stretch it out to 6 and put Cole in there, depending on how you want to build your team.
I just don't love the park. And I don't like Cole so much more than I like DeGrom and Bieber, especially he wasn't great last year. I mean, he was great. I'm sorry. He was great, but he wasn't as great. And, you know, I think Gary Sanchez, framing pitches matters, and Gary Sanchez ain't great at that.
Yeah.
Good for fantasy, though.
Yeah, true. A lot of strikeouts early on, but I guess if you're looking at Bieber and DeGrom, you're kind of in that neighborhood anyway. I came back around and took Walker Buehler. I took him ahead of Yu Darvish. I was going to take Bryce Harper, but he was off the board. Like Bo Bichette was there, I think, next in the queue.
Yeah,
it was just like that second pick, if you have the fourth, it's kind of like, I didn't want Trevor Bauer. I don't love Cody Bellinger. Lindor, I think, was gone. Darvish,
yeah, must have been.
Darvish, I don't know. I'm just not feeling Darvish this year in San Diego. Maybe just a little over. I don't know. Giolito, I don't trust. Harper, I would have loved, like I said. Bichette, I don't trust yet. Machado's just going to...
You know what I would have done? Yeah. What I'm doing, going crazy is Mondesi. I just think Mondesi. I mean, I did a lot. Guys, I did a lot of podcasts since our last show. I did a lot of fantasy baseball podcasts. I did the CBS show with Frankie and with Scott White. which was fun, the Dynasty podcast, and then did Ariel Cohen's podcast with his partner, Reuven, who was very helpful to me because he's an orthopedist, and he gave a free consultation. Yes, because I messed up my shoulder. I've been living with a separated shoulder for the last 2 months. Or a separated AC joint. And I was on with Reuven and Dr. Tom, my boy, Dr. Thomas Scott, our boy, I should say. And I was just like, you know, the shoulder thing. I mean, I've taken more Advil. I should buy stock, for God's sake.
Dr. Thomas Scott is a pediatrician.
I know, but he understands the human body. He does say that all the time. He's like, you know, it's not my expertise to, you know, because I work with kids. And I'm like, yeah, it's okay. Like,
he's pediatrician of the year, under the radar, pediatrician of the year.
He's so great, man. He's such a great guy and a great asset to have. Everyone should start a podcast and just get Thomas Scott to be on call, because it's just a wonderful thing to have when you're a parent.
He's a good dude. So just, if you can go out, become a famous actor, and then parlay that into being friends with pediatricians through your baseball podcast, that's the way to do it.
Yeah, really moderately famous. I mean, like the lowest end of famous actor you can be. But yes, okay, fine.
As you guys know, I'm back in Syracuse, and my parents, we watched Bull on DVR last night with my parents. And every time I do it, I think of you.
Which you watch the new
Bull? The new Bull, yeah. They're going through the old Bull catalog.
We just watched, my family just watched Cool Runnings. Did you ever see Cool Runnings?
Let's ask DVR that, because he hasn't said a word in the first 6 minutes here.
He talks a lot on Rates and Barrels, and he's so good. People love DVR so much, and you know what? They're right.
I've seen Cool Runnings.
We gave you that opening.
Did you like Cool Runnings?
Yeah. I mean, it came out when I was probably 10 years old, so yeah, I liked that movie.
Have you had any further thoughts, DVR, about Bull Durham?
No, not really. I think you got a pretty good assessment of it.
Yeah, people are...
Mike the Mouth was not a fan of that.
That's true. And I got hit pretty hard because I called Major League a 7.5, which I actually thought was quite nice. I thought that was quite fair, 7.5. I mean, that's a pretty good movie, actually, 7.5.
Well, yeah, what's your scale? I mean, all movies ever? It can't be any higher than that if you're grading it against, like, really serious, like, all-time classics.
Ben-Hur, Goodfellas, and Schindler's Lists are 10s, right? And Tootsie is a 10. Then, you know, 7.5 is pretty good, I think. Midnight Run is a 9.4.
You guys want to know who I picked in the third?
Yes, sir.
So, sorry, Dr. Tom. Why don't you shout him out? If people live in the upstate New York area, they can go to Dr. Thomas Scott. Mike Trout.
If you live in the upstate New York area, you want to go to Dr. Thomas Scott. He also works out constantly. He's a Peloton fiend. And he's like, why don't you come and do Peloton with me? And I was like, because I'm lazy and because I don't need to be on camera anymore. So I'm not going to do that, but I should do that.
All right.
Yeah. Okay, here we go. Who'd you get in the third round? Who'd you get in the third?
Ozzie Albies was at the top of my queue, but I went and I took Luis Robert instead.
Ooh,
a Robert, okay. However we're saying it. I just couldn't resist
it. Was DJ LeMahieu there?
I didn't even look. I can look at the draft order. Hold on.
DVR and I did the RotoWire magazine draft. So when did we do that, Derek?
Before Christmas.
Was it? It was like right before Christmas or something? It feels still very... And I took DJ LeMahieu. I had the sixth pick, I want to say. Yeah, because I took Trey Turner in the first, and I took Walker Buehler at 25 in the second, and then came back to me at 36, and LeMahieu was there. And I went, you know what? I want DJ LeMahieu at this price. What do you think of that, Derek?
LeMahieu was gone by the time I picked.
Derek, what do you think of DJ LeMahieu in the sort of mid-third round area?
I think he's like a good floor guy no matter where he plays, but I think to return value... where he's going and where you took him, I think he has to stay in New York. I think he fits the park.
He needs
perfectly.
That right field porch.
What do you mean? He was in Colorado for it. Well, yeah, I guess you're right. The porch.
He really uses that to great effect. I mean, it brings a lot of home power. But I mean, his ADP is 28.44 right now, and I got him at 36. So, but also, here's why I did it. Second base is such a kind of
waste.
That's a reminder to do sit ups with my son. He's a little wobbly, so I started doing sit-ups.
Him into the podcast. Just do the podcast while you're doing the sit-ups and have him hold the mic. Yeah,
I'm not doing the sit-ups. He's doing the sit-ups. Right. But second base is such a wasteland. It really is. It's not a good position. And to get somebody who you can stick there so that then the flexibility of second base, first base, third base is really valuable, I think.
I don't think you should have any shame in the dings going off. It's normal human behavior. It's a pandemic.
I'm going to have to really shut down everything, apparently, because now it's coming through on my iPad, which is no fun. So, yeah.
By the way, DJ LeMahieu was the fifth pick of the second round in this draft.
Right. Yeah. I don't advocate for that. I think that's too high, because that's like fifth pick. That's like the 15th pick.
You went ahead of Bryce Harper?
No.
Ahead of Lucas Giolito, Lindor, Walker Buehler?
No.
I mean, Real Muto, Arenado, Darvish. Yeah, he went pretty high. I would consider that high.
Yeah, I would too. Ahead of Mondesi. I would take Mondesi. Sorry. I got into a nice argument about... I want to ask you guys this. I want to ask both of you guys this. Who brings back more value in 2021? Dollars. And it includes injury risk. It includes everything. Okay? In 5x5 Roto, who do you have bring back more value this year? And how close is it? JD Martinez or Alberto Mondesi?
Definitely Mondesi. I think Martinez is going to be hobbled by back issue. With inside injuries, I'd learn a lot from them. And I think his back issues are going to be chronic and not go away for a while.
Okay. DVR.
I think Mondesi earns more, but I think JD Martinez is very underpriced right now.
Where do you have him? Where do you have him ranked in your top 100 hitters, top 200 hitters? I'm sorry.
I've got him 39th. Okay. So, I mean, I'm much higher than the field in terms of like where he goes in a lot of rooms. Look at the track record. You know, I think it's one of those things where you can't take a partial season with all the things that we know about 2020 and just say JD Martinez isn't JD Martinez anymore. I think you can look at it and say there are signs of decline. I think you can look at it and say that he's not an elite top 20 overall type hitter anymore, but it seems weird to me that he would just completely fall apart. He was among the players talking about how the lack of in-game video really hurt his preparation. So mm-hmm. I see a great floor still there. I think part of the issue is that in a lot of leagues, he's UT only. So now he kind of falls into the Nelson Cruz, Yordan Alvarez cluster. And I think all three of those guys are undervalued in the early drafts I've been in, because the elite hitters who are UT only are always undervalued. I don't know why people are so worried about having the UT spot blocked. I mean, if you're getting someone who's a top 30 or top 40 hitter at a top 75 to top 90 sort of price, that's great. You want that hitter. You can get flexibility elsewhere in your lineup. You just mentioned with DJ LeMahieu being multi-position eligible, you could find a few guys that move around, and that gives you just as much flexibility as you'd have if you had waited to fill the UT with someone who's not as good as those guys, and you were just cycling your best available hitter from your bench into that spot.
That is so fascinating. You know, we talk about Joey Gallo, right? If you're going to take Joey Gallo, you got to find a good balance to that average issue. How about that? Have people written an article about that, talking about if you're going to take, because of the glut? I mean, there's four premium DHs that are available in drafts this year. Is that right? Four?
Yeah, Cruz, yeah, Alvarez, Cruz, JD, and Stanton.
Yeah, that's four possible elite hitters that if you're going to go that route, there's value in getting yourself LeMahieu and getting the outfield for the Hunter Dozers of the world, that's how you could build your team around that.
Those four utilities are very scary. They each have like, I think that's going to be the problem. It's not a strategic utility question. And I guess that's what happens when you're DH only, but those four guys all have issues that they bring with them. Mostly injury. But Cruz age at some point, it's got to catch up with them at some point, right?
Yeah. I mean, yes.
I mean, Alvarez's knee is never going to be right.
No, he's running on a treadmill.
Okay.
So he's getting better. So, and he's not going to be, I actually think he's going to get some time at first base eventually. And he may find some space. I don't think they put Stanton back out in the field ever again. It's too dangerous, but I don't know. I like this idea of building your team that way, saying, okay, I'm going to get myself, like, really three multi-eligibility players, guys like a Tommy Edman, even, you know, who's going to have second base, shortstop, and third base this year. And then throw an outfield, first baseman, outfield, third baseman out there as well. And then you don't have to worry, because it drives me crazy to get a util spot, because I just feel somewhat boxed in. But I think DVR just came up with a really good idea on how to, you know, fix that.
Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service at any time. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard. Looking for an assist with your credit card but can't get a hold of anyone? Luckily, with 24/7 US-based live customer service from Discover, everyone has the option to talk to a real person anytime, day or night. Yep, you heard that right. You can talk to a real human in customer service anytime. Sounds like a real game changer if you ask us. Make the right call and get the service you deserve with Discover. Limitations apply. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
DVR, are you going to incorporate that into any leagues this year?
You mean just like building teams that way? Like I sort of build the teams with that mindset all the time. I guess that's just sort of part of the core process that I have. Like I'm looking for that flexibility because I see a lot of value in those UTs.
Do you? I mean, is it more of an auction or draft thing? Actually,
it works in both.
I guess it works in both, but I mean, is one more prevalent than the like an auction where you can go get anybody? Sure. And because these guys are top heavy, they're not going to be like dollar days in a lot of these drafts. So you know what I mean? No. Like you have to, that's $8-$9, which is kind of dead zone for the Larry Schechter kind of acolytes who, you know, do stars and scrubs.
$8-$9 is not, they're not going that low. None of them are going to go for $8 or $9.
You think Jordan Alvarez is going to go for $8 or $9 and a 15?
I think Jordan Alvarez going to go for more than that.
They'll go for 20.
Go for 50, yeah.
Oh, no,
yeah.
Really?
But 15 to 20, maybe not 20, but certainly 15. Yeah.
I mean, I was reading last year, like, his knees will never be right. Like, you know, bone-on-bone kind of stuff. Like, arthritic kind of knee stuff. Like, that scares a lot of people off.
I get it, but the upside on him is remarkable. I mean, the power upside is insane, and as is the average upside. I mean, he was the best hitter in baseball for that last 2 months of that season, of 2019. I mean, he was like a video game player. You know?
Yeah, and then
he's like some guy you create.
I guess if you had him last year in the truncated season, like those are the only people who are basically going to hate him. You know, like I got burned by him hard.
I got burned by him last year too in one league. I think it was GDD I drafted him. And I think I don't remember what I paid. I think I paid $8 for him because the idea was that you're only going to get half a season out of him, was the expectation, and you get nothing out of him. I'll buy him again this year. Okay. I would. In fact, of the four of them, how would you rank those, Nando? How would you rank the DH guys?
I think I'd put Stanton first. I would put Cruz. No, I think I'd go Stanton, Alvarez, Cruz, and then Martinez, a distant fourth. With the top three kind of bunched together. How about that?
It's a choice.
I find the top three close. I mean, if Stanton can stay healthy, he'll have an amazing season. And if Nelson Cruz really can fight off aging, he'll have an amazing season. If Jordan Alvarez's knee is fine and he doesn't have rust from not playing at all last year. I mean, last time Jordan Alvarez played regularly was 2019 at this point. And who knows when the season's going to start? What if it starts on May 1st? Like, that's a huge gap of not facing major league pitching.
DVR, what's your list? What's your ranking?
I've got Cruz and then JD and Alvarez and then Stanton. But, I mean, they're all reasonably close together for me. Like, they're all inside my top 50 hitters.
Right.
It's interesting.
I'm going to go, God, this is tough. It's really tough. It's like you flip everybody around. I wish I had an answer for this that was more obvious. I'm oddly going to go Cruz last. I'm going to go Stanton. Oh my God, am I going to go Stanton first? That's crazy.
Oh, that's so crazy for the Johnny Yankees fan to pick Stanton first. It's strange.
that's not why. I promise, that's not why. But I just think he's going to stay healthy, and I think he could hit 50 home runs. I think he can hit 55 home runs. And I think that they're going to be really careful with him. They're going to treat him like the piece of glass that he is, unfortunately. So Stanton one. Alvarez two. JD Martinez 3 and Nelson Cruz 4.
So you laughed at mine, so, and we have basically the same rankings. Right,
I know.
Thanks,
true.
Thanks, friend.
Sorry about that. No, I mean, I was like, that's crazy, but I don't know. I mean, I think that all four of them have value, and I think that under the radar, like, advice is if go get one and then, but build around it. Like, plan to get your, you know, don't overspend on DJ LeMahieu, but see if you can grab him. I mean, who are some of the other guys that have that kind of multi-eligibility moving forward? The Whit Merrifields, the Biggios, although I'm not so in love with him personally. A lot of these guys, I'm kind of bizarre, but like Dominic Smith or Jeff McNeil, Dylan Moore, and Tommy Edman. Tommy Edman would be very helpful. That's what I think I would do. And I'm not even sure that Tommy Edman's going to have such a great season. But you get Tommy Edman on your team around where he's being picked, and you marry him with that because he's got second base, third base, shortstop, and outfield. That'll cover you up. That'll make things a little simpler.
So you know who's an interesting utility guy? Actually, past those four is where it gets fun, I think. Just looking at DVR, his rankings, at five, he's got Otani. At six, he's got Franmil Reyes. And at seven, he's got Willie Calhoun. Though that, and actually Miguel Cabrera at eight, with that new coaching staff, you know, an analytics based coaching staff, maybe could coax another 320 home run season out of him. Who knows, right? I mean, maybe. But I mean, like,
maybe
the Otani, Reyes, Calhoun, and Cabrera are four that I would probably have on my team before the other guys.
I would take Reyes. I have to ask you about this
instead of DVR. Not before. You know what I mean? I prefer.
Yeah, yeah. But why would you? Why do you have Otani ahead of Reyes? Because Reyes is going to play, we think, every day, and Otani probably not, right?
Yeah, I think with Reyes, I'm not convinced that the average we saw in the shortened season, and we saw it in 2018 for what it's worth, I don't think he's a 275, 280 guy. I think he's 250, 260. Mm-hmm. Big power.
That's right.
It's a more replaceable skill set. I think that lineup could start to fall apart if they trade Lindor. They've already lost Carlos Santana. The counting stats might not pile up quite the same way in Cleveland. They don't replace those guys. So, I don't know. I'm probably picking nits at this point. But that's, to me, a more replaceable skill set.
Got it. Yeah, I mean, I just made a trade, and I made a trade over the break in Dynasty. And yes, it was on the phone with Dean Peterson. I would say it like that. Dean Peterson. It's from Ferris Bueller's Day Off. Dear.
I understand the reference. Yeah.
I know the reference. I've seen Ferris Bueller's Day Off.
You haven't seen Midnight Run. So neither of you have.
Oh, I watched it the other night, actually, with my parents.
He's a liar. He's a liar. But it's an interesting trade. We traded Tommy Edman and Leody Taveras, for Shohei Ohtani and Jamer Candelario, and we got a couple of picks as well.
What's Ohtani's deal in that?
Ohtani, it's the CBS, like, you can only use him in one spot.
But you can use him in either given the week.
Right, but you can't use him in both. And it's a weekly league. And I did it with Robert Mershak, my partner in the league, good man. We did it
he's almost at sound effect level, actually.
Is he? Cool.
I've heard his name like at least three or four times.
Robert Mershak, he's an agent for opera singers.
Nice.
So it would have to be like Robert Mershak, something like that.
All right.
I don't know. Well,
DVR, are you okay with that?
Yeah.
All right.
Okay.
It sounds like DVR doesn't like Robert Mershak. That's what it sounds like to me.
No,
I was taking a drink of coffee. So I was, yeah.
There's no reason not to like Robert Mershak. He's a really good guy. But what do you think of the trade? Edman and Leody for Ohtani and Candelario. We did get some nice picks. Second round pick, a third round pick, and a fifth round pick.
I was going to let DVR go because he hasn't been talking.
I like the Ohtani side of that trade. I mean, I think Edman is a fine glue guy. I am not convinced that we'll ever see a season as good as his first season with the Cardinals. That versatility is nice. I mean, with Taveras, I could see him ending up in the bottom third of that lineup, even though he has speed, could be a nice source of stolen bases. I think with Ohtani, here's why I'm a little higher on him than most. I think the Angels have gone through the two-way player effort to the point where they can now say, if it doesn't work out early in 2021, they can make Ohtani a regular hitter and just stop with the two-way player thing. If it works, then that's fine too. So I just think being at the point where they're finally going to make a decision or have it start to work, that makes me feel better about Otani's overall value and usage.
Yep. Thank you. That is exactly what I was thinking. And with the upside, well, go ahead. Nando, sorry.
Oh, no, I wasn't about to jump in at all. You're hearing things. Oh,
okay. No, I just was like, I asked what you thought of the trade. DVR gave his opinion, but I'll just back that up. And that was exactly what I was thinking. I also thought back to the trade that you and I made with James Anderson, 2 years ago, where we gave you Shohei Ohtani for Max Scherzer and Aaron Hicks back in the day. And I just thought it's such a good time to buy Ohtani in a dynasty league for this purpose, right? He's going to come back and he's going to pitch. I did watch film on him pitching in 2018. Gosh, I think it was 2018, right? 2018, I think. Yeah. And his stuff is nasty. I mean, his splitter is like 91. I mean, it's silly how good he looks as a pitcher. But he was so bad last year that if he does fail early, I think that they're going to do what you said. And I think they're going to move him to right field. And he's going to use his gun of an arm in right field or maybe first base. No, probably not first base because I think they like Jared Walsh. But if he can put the pitching together, he can be an ace. And he's still only 24, 25. That's how I saw it. So it's just a tremendous amount of upside. Edman, I agree, is a nice glue piece to have on a team. And Leody Taveras is sexy right now. So that's when you sell in dynasty leagues, when people want the guy. Because in that RotoWire draft, Leody Taveras went and Paul Spohr was like, no. And I was like, yes. Because when people want a guy, I didn't take him, but somebody else took him. I think it was Clay who took him. But like, that's when you can get the most for the guys. And that's the job. Buy low, sell high. That's what you want to do.
I find it interesting that you traded away Edmund, and you've mentioned him twice already in the show as someone you really like. So he's your guy, right? Like, I assume he seems like he's your guy.
He's not my guy. He's a guy I picked up off the wire in 2019, right? When he came up. And he's a guy that is valuable. I am not drafting Tommy Edman. The value of Tommy Edman is if you're going to take one of the Nelson Cruz, JD Martinez guys. That's where I see value for Tommy Edman. Otherwise, I'm not a huge fan of Tommy Edman. And I think he's fine. I think he's a fine player. He belongs at second base on your fantasy team. Sure. Maybe middle infield spot. Sure. You know, no question. A nice piece. But Leody Taveras is the guy who could come back and bite us. And I don't think he will bite us as much as Ohtani might lift us. And I am so much higher on Jaime Candelario. I mean, Robert Mrshak is like, can you stop with the Jaime Candelario? I was like, no, we won't.
What is it? Because you know what it is for me? New coaching staff. And Jose Cruz Jr. is their hitting coach now, which I would love to see Candelario break out for real, as well as, oh crap. He's my favorite guy in the world. And I can't remember his name now. Christian Stewart. Christian Stewart. Thank you. Yeah. Thanks. Christian Stewart.
Jaime Candelario already broke out.
Yeah, but he didn't sustain it. All right. If you want to argue he did, go ahead.
I just think his hard hit rate, the underlying numbers, he's at 86 on the hard hit rate, 73 on exit velocity, 78 on XBA, 70 on slugging, XWOBA is 72, barrel 68. He's becoming, and he's got dual eligibility. I just like the way he plays the game. And he was the throw-in on the other side.
And he had an amazing 2020, if you extrapolate those numbers out. He had a great 2020, yeah. But no one pays attention to that.
I do.
I mean, but you know what I mean? Like trade partners, people. Like if we're just talking right. Straight
well,
value.
He didn't want him. He was on his block. He was sitting on his block. Ohtani wasn't on the block. I had to call him to get Ohtani on the block. But Candelario was on the block. So I was like, all right, if he's on the block, it means you don't value him that much. And I mean, some guys, like I just put Yu Darvish on the block in that league. I value him, obviously. But then there are guys like at the bottom of your that's a good thing to look at on somebody's trade block. Like see the guys who are kind of medium value players. If they're on the block, it means they don't value them that much. It's a sign. You know, if Rowdy Tellez is out there Rowdy Tellez was on the wire on somebody's trade block, somebody threw him a fourth round pick for him.
That's right. All right.
And that's a, you know, so obviously it's like, well, you're not seeing what everybody else is seeing. So yeah, I'll take him. That's something to look out for in Dynasty League. Sorry to people who don't play Dynasty Leagues. I know some people are like, why do you talk about Dynasty League so much? Because that's what I do.
Yeah, but it doesn't matter. I mean, if you're talking Dynasty Leagues, you're talking about players who are going to be good in 2 or 3 years, which is good to get on the radars of people who play regular fantasy.
That's true.
Too. You know, yep, like these are names true. That I'd be, you know, oh, I remember when Ian talked about that guy 6 months ago. So, yep. You know, yeah. As long as we're sounds contextualizing good. It.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
And now, two pigeons bemoaning the fact you can stream DirecTV satellite-free.
You see this? A family watching baseball on DirecTV with no satellite dish in sight.
Let's heckle them.
You call that changing the channel?
Choke up on the remote, buddy.
I hope getting all these games on DirecTV makes up for your mother not pre-chewing your sunflower seeds.
DirecTV has the most MLB games. Visit DirecTV.com. Claim based on total games offered on national and regional sports networks with choice package or higher. Availability of RSNs varies by zip code and package. High-speed internet service required. Terms and restrictions apply.
By the way, we got a really good question on Twitter that I wanted to hit up because I hadn't thought about it at all. I don't think anyone's talking about it. I think you guys were tagged in it. It was from Joey DeClerc, and he wrote, seems like an undiscussed element of 2020's wonkiness is the repetition of competition. Players who maybe struggled later on just had too much exposure to the same pitchers over and over. And is 60 games enough for counter adjustments? I thought it was smart. I actually like that. So that's my kind of theorizing. DVR, did you see that? And did it click in your head? Like, oh, that's an interesting topic.
I hadn't really thought about the repetition of the schedule in the sense of players making adjustments or failing to make adjustments. But I know that the makeup of the schedule definitely had a profound impact on the shortened season. With the Central Division teams not going outside the Central, especially with pitching. Like, that to me is one of the biggest ways it shaped some seasons. So, I'm trying to think about it. Like, I think it's another one of those wrinkles of 2020, you know, not seeing other competition that needs to be factored in. And it's another reason why I'm waiting 2020 less than I'm typically waiting the season that we just finished. It still matters. Like I said earlier, there are still things we can learn from it, but we have to be careful about the conclusions we draw from last season.
I agree. I don't think Ian does.
Well, it's interesting. I actually think I definitely agree about the Central. And I think that somebody like Kenta Maeda getting to face the Tigers, the Royals, the bad Brewers, like things like that, was very helpful to him in becoming a top 10 pitcher, top five pitcher, whatever he was. And I think that Shane Bieber also had that upside, right? Whereas someone like Gerrit Cole, who we're talking about earlier, it was facing better teams every day as opposed to Shane Bieber or Kenta Maeda. But I actually think it goes the other way. I mean, seeing pitchers more often, typically, I think, makes it easier for the batter because they get to see their stuff and they get a better vibe on that. So I don't know that quite tracks for me. Am I missing something there?
Well, I don't know. Maybe you're making the same argument, just from a different lens. You know what I mean? Like it benefited the other side, but it's still the idea that they kept facing each other over and over again, that the familiarity breeds contempt.
I think at some point, Tristan Cockcroft did something with analysis looking at, sometimes teams play a series in the consecutive weeks. So you see a pitcher like really close together, even in a long season. And I thought the same thing that Ian did, where I thought, okay, that's advantage hitter. You know, if you get eight looks at a guy over the span of 2 weeks, those fifth, sixth, seventh, and eighth looks should be a lot better and more productive for the hitter. And I think Tristan's research at the time, this was a few years ago, was actually inconclusive. It didn't have a clear correlation that there was an advantage to the hitter getting to see that pitcher more times, which definitely surprised me.
That surprises me. Yeah. It does. It surprises me for sure. Because I know even in Little League, like once you see a pitcher, and obviously it's different in Little League and Major League, totally different. But in Little League, I've seen this guy, I know how he throws. Like, I know the ball's not going to be coming at my head. You know, for Little League guys, that's a big question all the time.
You know, I'm, and this is going to sound like a commercial for The Athletic, but it's not. But I mean, it inadvertently is. I think the most important thing for this coming fantasy baseball season is going to be reading the crap out of the right beat writers who are asking the questions about what these minor, like Jen McCaffrey, wrote a great piece halfway through the season last year about how the Red Sox, their minor league camp, they were live streaming the games, like their exhibition games. You could watch I think it's going to be stuff like that, that you're going to have to rely on what they hear, what the coaches say, who is good, because forget about dynasty, just, you know, some of the guys who weren't in the pool and didn't even make it up and were at the alternate camp and stuff. I mean, they played and they have results, and it's obviously not normal results, but I mean, someone's going to be able to say this guy crushed the ball in the alternate camp last year.
Yeah, that would be very helpful to know.
Like Rylan Bannon. It'd
be helpful to know the inside, the who?
Rylan Bannon.
Who's that?
Official prospect of Under the Radar.
Who's that?
The guy in the Orioles whose cards we're all buying.
What?
We're all?
Well, if one does,
you are
do.
So all in on this, dude. How much did you spend on how high did you get on this card?
$14. It went for $150.
$14.
Someone's buying a Rylan Bannon card for $150.
No one is buying a Rylan Bannon card for $150.
I sent you a screenshot.
Come on, this is not.
I love baseball cards, but if Rylan Bannon cards are cracking $100, something's wrong with that.
Something is wrong. This is like a super rare autographed PSA 10 graded refractor out of 25 kind of thing, but still.
But he what? Who is he?
I mean, he's amazing. What's he going to be? He's Jose Altuve.
He's a fourth outfielder. I'm going to be so wrong on this. This is the guy that Nando's going to be like, and you don't take him before the 20th round. In any draft this year.
No.
Okay.
I think I could take him in like 48 and still be three rounds ahead of everybody else.
There you go. In a 50 team draft, if you take him at 48, you'll get him because nobody else is going to take
him.
He's
also an infielder.
Is he on the list? Is he on? See, he shows you. I'm just.
On what list?
Is he on the ADP list?
Oh, I don't think so. I didn't even think to look.
I think we have to look.
Bannon. Nope.
Wow.
He is not in the top. $150. 1076.
And he's $150?
For one of his cards, yeah.
That's okay.
That's just weird.
Maybe there's this college. Maybe someone's.
Okay, but here's what I would do. And I'm not in the baseball card game. You are in the baseball card game.
Well, baseball card game and the fantasy game are almost the same thing.
I get it. I would take. How many cards do you have of RB?
I probably have 10. And I haven't spent more than $8 with shipping on any of them.
Except for the one you got for $14.
No, I bid 14, and 3 days later it sold for $150.
Okay. All right. Please put those cards up on eBay right now.
No, absolutely not. I'm going to wait 2 years.
Okay.
When he's Jose Altuve, and they're worth, you know, $40, $50 each.
Okay. Hey, and that's the fun.
That's the whole point.
That is the fun of it.
Yeah, well,
I get it.
Man.
That's the fun of it. No, I get
friends.
It. I kind of do get it. No, I get it. I get it. I do get
you
it.
You would love this. You should really get into this, man, because you would love this.
I do have our DeMarcus Evans signed mint card that I bought. That's pretty cool. I'm excited about that, especially with the trade of Rafael Montero to the Seattle Mariners, which I actually think, I just want to say this because I said it on another podcast, but I think it's worth saying. That trade of Montero, I'm curious what you guys think of this. That trade of Montero suggests to me that Jared Kelenic is going to be up early this year.
Okay.
Because what they're saying with that trade, if you're going to trade for a closer, think of it like in dynasty leagues, you don't buy closers unless you're trying to win.
Yeah.
So they went out and they bought a closer.
Yeah, but Jerry DePoto does this stuff all the time. That's like his thing.
Okay, maybe. But what my point is, the larger point is that for me, that raises Kelenic's ADP up. What do you think, DVR? Is that anything there?
I think they were probably going to bring him up early anyway. So, yeah, maybe it falls in line with the narrative. Like, they believe he's ready, and they probably believe that Julio Rodriguez is ready or close to ready too. I think it's both of them. I don't think it's just Kelenic. I think it's both.
I feel like maybe I'm way off on this, but I feel like Kelenic is earlier than Rodriguez, like a year earlier.
Rodriguez, is he healthy?
Well, he wasn't last year, and that's part of the reason why. Like, I think that if he didn't have the really bad injury, I don't remember what it was.
Didn't he turn his shoulder diving for a ball or something? It was a shoulder, arm.
Fractured wrist.
All right.
Yeah, that was when that happened, I was like, ooh, all right, so 2022 now, as opposed to 2021. Whereas Kelenic, I think, can come up in 2021. I don't know that he's going to light the world on fire, but he'll be good.
Yeah, but I mean, like, that goes back to, like, what happened last, like, maybe he sucked last year in that camp, and he's got adjustments to make against, you know, whatever. Well, it wasn't major league pitching.
It wasn't the sound.
No,
what,
I know.
What people were making in Seattle. The memory I have is that he was doing very well, and he's such a young, boy, that Mets trade is just I mean, have we even talked about Steve Cohen? Have we mentioned that? That the New York Mets are freaking awesome now, and they're going to be freaking awesome for the next 10 years?
Are they? They got lucky with Cano.
Yeah, they got hugely lucky with Cano. But that trade is so bad now. You've got a guy who's, I mean, maybe Diaz can be special as a closer, but maybe not. And the Cano contract, which you did get lucky, saved $20 million there. But boy, oh boy, that trade is terrible.
Let me ask you something sinister.
Terrible.
Let me ask DVR this, because he's had, you know, once in a while DVR gets evil DVR, you know, goatee DVR. Yeah.
I like when he does that.
If you,
like when he gets,
if you're an owner of a team, right, and you owe a guy $70 million, would you pay someone like $2 million to sneak some illegal substances into his whatever?
Ooh.
would I do that? Me? If I became very wealthy?
If you're a ruthless, you know, billionaire owner, would you consider that if like a dude is totally washed and you're like, you know, I'll even pay a guy $7 million to save 63. You know what I mean?
No, I would not do that. Oh, yeah. I'm not going to say that's impossible because
you're afraid you get caught, or are you just,
that's the world we live in. Why would I? I'm not going to sabotage this person. It's a human being.
I think he,
you know, there are some questions that, you know, they're coming out of somebody's mouth and you're like, huh, I wonder how close this one's going to be. Huh? Maybe he might do something like this. As soon as that question came out, I was like, no, the guy does charity drafts for food banks.
Who, Robinson Cano?
No, Dark Van Riper.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's like you're asking the wrong guy that question. You can ask me the same answer for me, straight up same answer. But boy, oh boy. Well, I guess here's where we should go. Nando, if you were the owner of a baseball team and you owed a guy, let's say someone like Chris Davis from the Baltimore Orioles, another $60 million, and he's already gotten a, you know, would you slip something illegal? It cost you like $2 million so that he would get suspended the way Robinson Cano did.
No, I wouldn't do. I mean, Chris Davis, I think, is only on 50 next or 80 next. Right?
Okay. So
Cano was full season.
Okay. Would you do it to someone like Robinson Cano?
I mean, if he's a jerk, but probably not. I probably wouldn't. You know, it's you knew that coming in, what you were inheriting, you know?
Oh, the way that Brody Van Wagoner, is that how you say his name?
I would trade Robinson Cano for Chris Davis over and over and over again. Every month I would do it just to entertain the fans.
You would trade Robinson Cano for Chris Davis. Straight
I would have up. I would have a standing agreement with Baltimore, and I would say, look, on the first of every month, we're going to trade these guys back and forth. Just what are we going
to
do?
You know what would be interesting is to go over like what are the worst contracts in baseball right now? Right now. So Albert Pujols and Miguel Cabrera have to be the top two, right, that are left. Cano has to be up there.
Cabrera's, no. You know what you were getting. This is the tail end. This is what was always going to happen. I mean, he's older now.
No.
How old is Cano?
Cano is 37. He's going to be, this is his season, age 37 season. I'm almost sure of that.
Man, that happened.
Because last year was his age 36. And not really. I mean, he's been around for 50, you know.
I didn't think he was the same age as Miguel Cabrera, though.
Yeah, but Miggy, how many years does Miggy have left? I mean, 4 years left? Another bad contract is Brandon Crawford. That $15 million contract in San Francisco is just, certainly, I mean, he's actually great in the field. So, like, he brings a little bit there. But boy, oh boy. I mean, that's just, being paid for past performance is just, that's why free agency has died down so much, because baseball owners really got screwed by all these big contracts that they gave out.
Yeah, but they wanted them they wanted the front loaded young years, and they were okay with paying them out when they got old, which was going to happen.
Okay.
It's not like it sucked immediately, right?
No, it's fair. It's fair. It's just, but that's why you're not seeing the big contracts anymore. It's just really hard to find. And I worry about that with Gerrit Cole, but still it's great to have him for sure.
Yeah.
But that's, I don't know, an aging first baseman. Don't pay him off. Just let him go.
DVR.
Cardinals were right.
What if I told you there was a guy who hit 250 with 10 home runs last year in 57 games, walked 24 times, struck out 51.
There's probably a few guys that did that. Yeah, it's a nice player. It's not a star, but a nice player.
That's Miguel Cabrera.
Serviceable for deep mixed leagues. He's a corner guy, right? He's going to be in the heart of the order. The lineup might be a little better.
He's UT only coming in.
That's right. Yeah. He doesn't have that. You know what? So in that case, it's only one spot you can play him. He might not pick up in-season eligibility at first base.
Yeah.
I think he's AL only at this point, or like 20-team mixers.
That's right.
Yeah.
I mean, I dropped him. I finally, there's a moment when I'm doing my dynasty rankings where I drop a player out of the top 400 and realize that that's it for them and they're never coming back. And when they're Hall of Fame players, it kind of hurts a little bit. And sometimes they come back. Like Joey Votto, I think, made it back to the, you know, the high 300s recently. But when I dropped Albert Pujols out, I was like, that's a big deal. It was like 2 years ago, or 3 years ago at this point. But then when I just did it with Miggy and I was like, yeah, that's it. No more for Miggy. He's out. It's kind of sad, but he's still making $25 million a year, $30 million a year. Crazy.
Yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah. I got caught up in a Kristen Stewart eBay wormhole. So, sorry.
You okay?
His cards are very cheap. Autographed rookie cards are very cheap.
How much are the autographed rookie cards for Kristen Stewart?
You can get a, well, this, I'm only seeing like the first couple, but 2019 Topps Chrome Kristen Stewart auto rookie card, $1.29 with an hour left, which obviously.
Okay. So $1.29. Why buy? You don't have to bid five. Bid two.
Well, you bid five, and it, you know, it's like, okay, 239 is your highest bid at the moment. But that way, I don't have to watch this every 5 minutes. You know, I'll get an alert if it goes over five.
Oh,
yeah.
Oh, okay. So, and if it doesn't, if it goes to $2.75, and your bid is five, do you pay five or do you bid $2.70? Do you
no, get it's Vickery.
Oh, cool. Yeah. Okay. Yeah. That makes some sense to me. $2.75, Kristen Stewart signed rookie card.
But don't make it make too much sense. In the next hour and 11 minutes.
Okay, so let's say he comes out this year and has a good year. Hits like 265, 20 homers, drives in 80 runs. Is a just a good player. That seems like a reasonable, like positive sort of outcome for him. What is that card worth this time next year? $25?
I don't know. I don't know where the market's going to be. But yeah, let's say, sure. This is a, well, it's Topps Chrome. It's sealed with the Topps sticker. It's a redemption card. Yeah, it wouldn't. We're talking like 3 years from now when he's hit like 35 home runs in a couple of those seasons, and maybe is one of like goes to sign with the Yankees. That's the path that you want, according to Michael Salfino, who's been my guru for all of this, and just a wonderful guru.
I'm not sure that there's enough ceiling in Christian Stewart to make him the guy you're buying at that price. I think there are players that exist in that pool around that price point. I'm not sure he's the guy.
I agree. I'm looking
at... You guys just saying this to be hurtful now.
No. I mean, like...
No. What we're saying is, like, you know what would be interesting? It's like with Cameo, when we were doing that Cameo thing, and we, it was like, who's the underpriced... I am starting to see the value of the baseball card thing. Who is the underpriced Cameo person that we can get that's going to make an impact,
right,
but that we don't have to spend a tremendous amount of money on, right?
Right.
And you got Bryce Harper's agent.
Trevor Bowers,
same thing. You got Trevor... I don't really mean that. They're both good players. They're great. But in baseball card players...
What did you think was going to happen? Did you think like Bryce Harper's agent was going to get angry when he heard this show and come back at you? It was just a very funny recovery.
No, they're both great.
Unnecessarily.
It's fine. I'm just going to go with it. But the point is that I would love to know, like, is there a place that you can look to see who are the baseball players that have rookie cards that are signed and that all of the prices are right there? Like, that would be interesting to me. That would really be interesting.
You know, there's just too many variations. Like, I mean, there's Topps, there's Bowman, there's Chrome, there's Refractors, there's Limited Edition, there's Autograph. There's all kinds of different levels where it's not like 100 of the same card. It's like two of these 50 cards. You know what I mean?
Yeah. All right. I'm just saying.
You can go to StarStock. Actually, StarStock has a little graph that shows you how much they've sold for and what the latest sale was and how, you know, what's available and stuff
like
that.
That's what. Okay. StarStock?
Try StarStock.
Okay.
I got a code. But like I got a code for you later if you want to.
I'd be curious, like, what is Nate Lowe's rookie card at right now? You know what I mean? Does it go down with his value dropping in Tampa Bay, and then does it shoot up by 30% when it goes to Texas?
Well, it depends. I mean, you know, there's a market plays actually a pretty decent role in this, and just the wantability of the guy. So, you know, a guy playing for the Marlins, Lewis Brinson, undervalued. I mean, until he starts making some noise and starts being awesome.
How much is a Lewis Brinson rookie card right now?
Depends on what you want, man. Like, I got a couple for $7 the other day, post Christmas. Autographed, numbered, stuff like that. Like, I bought one. I actually went a little high on Lewis Brinson. They had these holiday cards a few years ago where they had a turkey stamp on it. So there are only 35 of each one made. And I think I paid like $14 to $18 for that.
How much is Bradley Zimmer?
Do you want to just, hold on, Bradley Zimmer? Well, here's all you got to do. Put in Bradley Zimmer, RC Auto into the search field in eBay. And Bradley Zimmer, you can get, well, I like to do a Bowman Chrome auto graded. It's $5, no bids now. But I mean, you can get
$5 assigned. Is it signed?
You can get assigned 99 cents. There's one bid on that. That's for another 8 days. You could probably get it for like a decent one for like $4 or $5.
See, that would interest me. And not just because Bradley Zimmer is an interesting player to me going into next season, which Todd Zola kind of busted out yesterday on Twitter. He's like, oh my goodness, Brad Zimmer is so good. Because he's like a little under the radar guy for me this year, thinking that there's going to be space available in the Indians, lineup. Like, that would be interesting to me, like to, you know, penny stock it as opposed to $14 on Ryan Bennett.
Well, this is actually your fault, because when you talked me into stopping, like, you know, these deep, deep sleepers, then I turned to baseball. I mean, there's baseball cards are deep enough where you can get like the Bradley Zimmers and the Ryland Bannons, who you can't put on your fantasy team, but you can get, you know, look, if you go to Star Stock, non-autographed cards are going for under a dollar.
Star Stock. By the way, this is a very good trade for you to trade out. This is DVR. Would you agree with me on this? That him not doing this in fantasy baseball will make more money if you buy baseball cards than you will if you play fantasy leagues.
I feel like DVR tapped out a long time ago. He's not even here anymore.
No, I'm still here. Yeah, I don't know. I'm trying to think, like, are you more likely to win a league because of Christian Stewart and Bradley Zimmer, or are you more likely to make 15, 20 bucks per card because of something they do in one season? Yeah, it's probably the latter. You're probably more likely to make money with baseball cards with those guys.
But also he'll do better in the fantasy leagues because he's not reaching for guys, because he gets the, you know, the fix of finding these under the radar guys. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Oh, you scratch the itch with the cards, and then you target guys who are going to play more in drafts instead.
Is what I'm saying. So then he wins $500 for winning a league, and then he uses that $500 to scratch the itch.
I like it. Thank you for profiling me.
I love it.
It's much appreciated. Thank you. Yes.
This is fun. Star Stock. Yes. Yeah, but we should get them to. Didn't we have? We got to leave. You've got a heart out.
I got a heart
out. We have like all these letters from people who want us to read letters on the
air. I can do another. I can go an extra five.
Okay. So should we do one?
Let's do them all. DVR, you can pick them since you haven't talked at all.
These are almost full episode questions. So no way we can squeeze these in.
All right. Just read the top parts of each ones where they say they love us, and then we'll go. No, I'm just kidding. I'm joking.
We'll save them for the next episode. They're good topics. They'll help a lot of people.
All right, next episode, Matt Olson, you're in. Charles from Chicago, you're in. And whoa, this is a long one. Eric Freud, you're in.
That's a really long one.
Yeah. Well, he says it up top.
But he met DVR at First Pitch Arizona in 2018.
Yeah, look at that.
So that's cool.
Let's just read the PSs. The postscripts.
P.S. Because
Matt
Olson, the show.
Major League is rated way, way higher than 7.5 out of 10. There's,
yeah, yeah, that's what it was. Yeah. It was Matt, who is apparently the first baseman from the Oakland A's, is a fan of the show. And sorry, I can't go with you on that one, Matt. I'm excited to do your question, but no, please do send us your emails and questions. And secret word for the day is Mirshak, M-I-R-S-H-A-K.
We're good?
Good.
I think I hit that note. Why don't we actually get him to record someone doing that so we can just play it? DVR can edit it right in. When you mention the kids on your Little League's names, DVR can play the opera note instead of the last name.
Listen, I am sure that Mr. I'm not going to do it.
I'm just baiting you. You know what's right? And pull back the curtain for a second here. DVR's got to write the descriptions for everything. And us doing like 20 minutes of the utility players kind of off the whatever rundown we had was just ADPs, but it was like a gift to him. Like I've had to do this stuff before, and having that be like, okay, we talk about all the utility only players. Great show. And then you went and ruined it by saying this kid's name over and over again. Now he's got to go in and
edit
it
out. It's true, because now I've given him more work to do.
Yeah.
It's true, but now it's a running gag. So as soon as we're done, DVR and I are going to get on the phone. He's going to go, you really need to stop doing that. Or he's going to say, it's a really good bit. You can keep it going. It's up to DVR. He'll let me know.
We gotta go. I got a heart out.
All right.
As Ian hinted, but I think it was a great show. I think it was fun and helpful and just a beautiful January show. I hope everyone else.
And we're back. Are we back next week, DVR?
I don't know. Looks like it's on my calendar for next week.
Yeah, we'll try to get one in next week too.
Okay. We got to answer those questions. Yeah.
Sounds good. Take us out, Nando.
For the man who loves playing with his utility, Derek Van Riber.
I don't even know what to say to that one.
For the guy who owes his kid 200 sit-ups, Ian Kai.
That's me.
I'm not an Afino. Thank you for joining us. We hope you enjoyed this episode of Under the Radar. We'll see you next time.
Bye.